Charlie Canva, thank you for coming into Stages. It's great to have you coming into the studios here. You're with this show coming on at the Lyric. We've seen it before, haven't we? A couple of years back, Warhorse, which is a puppetry show, and you're the resident director. Now, what involvement does that mean that you have with the show?
It's lovely to be here, and we're thrilled to be opening. So there was an Australian production of Warhorse a few years ago here, and we're thrilled to bring this touring company from the UK to present the show again. As you say, I'm the resident director, so responsible for looking after the show on the ground, keeping the quality up, making sure we can fit into each venue correctly, and making sure that the story is as powerful every night for every audience.
Now, just for listeners who perhaps aren't aware of it, it's about a horse.
Mm-hmm. It is.
A horse in World War One, but we don't have real horses on stage, do we?
We don't. So it's based on a novel by Michael Morpurgo called Warhorse. And the central conceit of the show is to bring these horses to life. The novel is written with Joey, the horse, at the heart of the story. And so the production is created around these horses using, as you said, puppetry. So we have these massive life-size horses puppeteered by three performers, two sort of inside the body of the horse and one outside, responsible for the head. And they bring these animals to life, that and the many other animals we have in the show.
And, I mean, everyone loves this show. Mm. I believe the Queen loves it.
She does. She's a big fan.
And what is it about it? Is it because it's not just people who love horses, is it? It's because the horses come to life and they have personalities.
They do. They really do. And I think it's about family as well. And throughout the story, we follow the connection between Albert, a young boy from Devon, and his horse, Joey, who are separated and go off to war. And it's their journey to try and find each other again. So there's a lot of themes about family and connection against the backdrop of this huge conflict, which affected so many people and animals. And of course, we often forget the animal loss of life in the First World War. You know, none of them got to volunteer. None of them got to choose what they were doing. They were just sent. And in most cases, the vast majority of the animals, the horses who went to war, didn't come back. I think in Australia, only one came back.
Yes, they weren't allowed to come back. We had whalers, which I'm not sure what that meant.
Yes,
certain kind of horse, but the quarantine meant they couldn't come back or something. I'm not sure.
Exactly that. So they were sent to other parts of the world.
There was the influenza as well. So I suppose they were pretty worried about that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I remember reading, might have been in All Quiet on the Western Front, that they talked about the screaming of the horses when they were injured. Mm. You don't think of horses as screaming, but apparently anyone that had been from the land or had worked with horses were just devastated, or it was just so hard to hear this
absolutely,
sound.
Absolutely. And what's wonderful in the show is that all of the sounds the horses make are created by the puppeteers live on stage. And I think it's this, you know, there's this global thing we all feel of this connection with animals and the innocence of animals. And so I think it's a brilliant way of portraying this war through the eyes of an innocent but fighting to survive horse who, as you say, has a personality, has a character, is quite cheeky, is very kind of flexible and adaptable. And actually that's what helps him a lot through the war. And through that lens, we get to see the context around him.
Yes, because at the time, vehicles were new. They were still pretty much in their experimental phase in some cases.
Yep.
Well, you know, tanks were just invented during the war. And, of course, mud really defeated wheeled vehicles.
Absolutely.
So horses were the engine room of all of the armies, I suppose.
They absolutely were. And what we also see and try to capture in the play is the huge transformation of the war. It started off with everyone expecting it to be a big war of movement, like these, you know, Napoleonic battles. We're all going to array in front
cavalry,
of each other.
Cavalry, we're going to race in.
Cavalry
and save
charges,
the day. And,
swords, all of that. We have this middle period where it's all just these this horrendous mud and trenches and shell pits and everything. And as you say, by the end, we've got tanks, we've got gas, we've got fire, we've got planes. It's a war that completely changes out of recognition by the end. And we try to shape that journey in the play and show just how out of place horses are by the end of that conflict.
Do we have people, characters as well on stage so that they're interacting with the puppets?
Exactly that, So there's two main horses, two main horse characters. There's other animal characters as well. And then we have a company of 34 performers. So there's a whole array of characters you meet. What's lovely about the show is it's got a real ensemble feel. So a number of the performers play several roles, or they might do some puppetry and then also some acting. And that makes it really feel like we've got a kind of village on stage, a whole community on stage coming together to tell you this story.
And how do you keep control of all this? It must be like a runaway train at many points, because I remember a teacher telling me that 25 in a class was great, 30 was difficult, but anything over 30, you know, you just couldn't keep track. Do you find that sometimes you think, I'm missing somebody, but who is it? You know?
Yeah, that is a game we sometimes play when we're gathering. Who's the one who we haven't got in the room?
Who's not here? Hand up.
Who's not here, exactly. No, they're a fantastic company. And I think the biggest part of my job is about keeping the story alive. And this company have been on tour now for over a year. And it's an incredible story, but that's a long time to tell a story. So a big part of my job is trying to help them keep it fresh. But actually, this company are fantastic and do so much of that work on their own, and are able to bring a kind of freshness and originality to each performance, which for me is what's exciting about theatre. You know, it's that connection, isn't it, with the performers on stage who are genuinely responding to the audience as well. I always see that as a two-way street, and the company are great at facilitating that.
Well, I was just thinking when you're talking, you know, the people that want to freshen up the act are sometimes the most dangerous people on stage.
Yes.
Well, I just did this because I thought it would freshen up the act.
Exactly.
And everyone else is appalled because suddenly there's nothing on the table for them to pick up or something. I don't know. But do you find? Do you find there's some people you have to pull back a bit and say, look, hang on, don't go too far?
There's always a mix. So I always think a bit of danger is good. I think if everyone gets too comfortable, it can settle and it can become stale. But you're absolutely right. There's a reasonable limit. I mean, if Joey suddenly started talking in English, I think we'd maybe have gone too far. But no, it's lovely. And what's always great about a company of this sort of size is that it's big enough that you get that kind of dynamic. You know, it's not a group of seven people touring together for a year. It does feel like a big community, and that allows people to respond off each other in different ways.
Now, with a travelling company, is it difficult to fit into a new city? Do you find the audiences are a bit different somewhere?
They definitely vary, yeah. And I actually think that's really exciting. So each theatre brings a new challenge because of the way the relationship between the auditorium and the stage, or the sight lines, or the backstage space. But what's really exciting is the different audience responses. And what we found here is because of the huge heritage of the Anzacs and the massive contribution to both world wars from Australians, is that we've had a really positive response. So it's felt like there's a deep connection actually with the story. And that's really thrilling to come to the other side of the world and find that the story you're telling rings as true as it does in the UK. Different responses around the world is what keeps it fresh as well, and keeps it exciting and part of the thrill of touring.
My grandfather was in the Western Front, and he wanted to work with horses. He was a horseman. But he got a pack of mules.
Oh, right.
So would you ever consider doing a story about mules?
I mean, maybe next. Maybe that's War Horse 2.
He said they were harder to work with.
I can imagine.
So you're opening this weekend, this weekend.
Yeah.
And it's been here before. Are you getting a lot of repeat people, do you think?
And actually we have the same thing in the UK. It was... The show is constantly evolving, which I find very exciting. So it's been going for a decade or so, but in various incarnations. So I would absolutely encourage you to come back if you've seen it before. You'll find lots of things have changed, but hopefully the spirit of the story is still as strong as it was.
Well, thank you very much for coming in, Charlie. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
I'm hoping to see the show next week.
So we'd love to have you.
Great. But look, it sounds absolutely fantastic. The National Theatre, What have they got more of these sort of shows coming up? What are the brilliant things that they've got coming up?
We do, yeah. So we tour a lot of the work that comes out of the Nationals. So Curious Instance touring, the Layman Trilogy's touring. There's lots of work coming around. I'm not sure exactly what's coming over to Australia, but yeah, keep an eye out. There's always lots going on.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Charlie, for coming in.
Thanks very much. All the best.
Resident director Charlie Kenber there. I do hope you can go and get to see Warhorse.